Time for a little something different, a favorite subject around here, sports officiating. After further review, our guest is the executive director of the Oregon Athletic Officials Association. Deep resume, was elected to the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame in 2015. Welcome in, Jack Foliard. Appreciate the time, Jack. How are you?
I'm very good, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about officiating on your show.
So I understand you're also an attorney, doing that undergrad work, going to law school, that kind of training, that kind of skill set. How did that help you as an official?
You know, that's an interesting question, but it did immensely, because there's a lot of parallels between and I was a trial lawyer, a lot of parallels between the courtroom and the courts, the fields. Both endeavors have a set of rules, and they have interpretations, which you put those two together and you apply them to the facts. And that's exactly what we do when we officiate: a set of rules, set of interpretation, and then we watch, observe the game, which are the facts, and then we apply those rules and interpretation. So there is a really good parallel there.
Not to mention the consistent objections, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, there are a few more objections in officiating than there are in the courtroom, that's for sure.
We'll get to a lot of what you've personally experienced, but this task at hand, the OSAA is trying to get the word out. If you'd elaborate, apparently we've got a shortage of referees, and not only for football, but across the board in sports?
That's correct, and it's we're getting to the crisis. We're kind of on the precipice. This shortage just didn't happen overnight. It's been gradually appearing over the last several years. In fact, we've lost 16% of our high school officials in the last 5 years. We have about 3,000 officials that cover the seven sports around the state, but that's now 16% less than we had before 5 years ago. But the number of contests that require officials has slightly increased as the population increases and more schools are being built. So we've got an issue here that's starting to affect everybody involved in high school athletics.
You know, I'm in my mid-50s, and I could attest to the fact when I played, be it Little League, Boys Club, was involved in youth sports 40 years ago, I witnessed some awful behavior by parents, you know, the supposed adults. Is there any logic to, you know, there's an element of officials who'd like to do the job, but have decided, you know, for what we get paid, sometimes the abuse over a game involving teenagers just isn't worth it?
Yeah, and that's a factor, and everybody's trying to address it. I think it's worse than when I first started officiating a long time ago. I don't know why. Maybe it's a cultural, societal thing that it's mainly parents, frankly. And what happens is we have to start out our officials in the freshman level games, and so you have a kind of a perfect storm where you have inexperienced officials with inexperienced players, inexperienced coaches. But the fans and the parents think that they ought to be as good as what they see on TV, and that's just not going to happen. So, yes, we do lose quite a bit of officials after their first year saying it's not for me.
You know, I want to get back to that, but we continue talking with Jack Foliard of the OAOA. I've got to ask, you're also a supervisor in the Pac-12 officiating program. Very curious, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be, to if you could kind of explain that job and all it entails.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I officiated in the Pac-12, actually started when it was the Pac-10. I was on the field for 33 years. Had a great experience, made a lot of great close friends, and was able to work a lot of big games. But it was time for me to move on, and our boss offered me a position as a supervisor underneath him in the Pac-12 football program. So what I do each weekend, and this is my second year, is I'll go up and down the West Coast to a game and supervise that particular crew from the press box. And then probably on Sunday night or Monday, we do what we call film breakdown, where I'll have a video of every play of the game, and then I will grade each of the eight officials on every play based on their position and their judgment. So it's quite involved. A lot of people don't think there's any accountability at that level. Well, they're wrong. There's a ton of accountability with respect to the performance on the field.
You know, I was talking with a colleague and said I was going to be speaking with you, and this subject surfaced. We always hear about coaches or teams who make adjustment at halftimes, be it football or basketball. Do officiating crews meet at halftime and discuss things like, you know, we're not calling it tight enough, we've got to stop blowing whistles every other play? Do referees make halftime adjustments?
We do. They're not major adjustments because we can only officiate what is presented to us. You know, we can't control how the play is developed and how the players are doing. But yeah, we'll say, for example, in basketball, during our little halftime break, we might say, you know, we're just allowing too much rough play and it's going to get away from us. We need to clamp down a little bit and that type of thing. So yeah, and also maybe positioning. Like in a football game, we might say, well, we didn't have the people at the right place on that particular play. Let's change our approach a little bit. Something that the fans and coaches wouldn't know. But yeah, we do talk about our performance during halftime.
You know, obviously over the course of your career, first it happened at the professional level, but then it came to this conference. What was kind of the initial reaction among you and your colleagues and your peers when they implemented replay?
We loved it. Actually accepted it with open arms, and the reason is the game is so fast, these athletes are so good, that there are going to be times in which we'll be blocked out, we won't see it, that the toe is on the out-of-bounds line, we don't see it, and we want to get things right. And so there's nothing worse to an official prior to instant replay where you're worried about a particular play, and you come home on a Sunday, you pull it up on your DVR and say, oh, my God, we missed that one. But now, in college football and other sports as well, a lot of those so-called understandable misses can be fixed by instant replay. It's a great tool, and it's been well accepted by the officiating folks.
We're talking with Oregon Athletic Officials Association Executive Director Jack Foliard. I mentioned you were inducted in the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame, just the third official to earn that honor. It's quite a class. Damon Stoudemire, greatest coach in Duck history, Mike Bilotti. What do you remember about getting that phone call and being a part of that class?
That was a big thrill, and I feel so so blessed to be able to be inducted into the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame. And it was kind of a little bit ironic because, of course, I know Mike Bilotti quite well, having worked many, many
right.
Duck games over the years. And also with Stoudemire, I remember officiating him when he was playing high school basketball up in Portland.
Wow.
So while he wasn't at the ceremony because he had responsibilities, I think, with the NBA at that time, it was good to see Mike, Coach Bilotti, in a different venue, not at Autzen Stadium, but up in the back club where we had the induction ceremony.
I read you were the crew chief for the BCS title game when Florida beat Ohio State in Glendale. It wasn't a close game. What do you recall about maybe that game, such a huge game? And as an official, is there any difference calling a lopsided game as opposed to a tight one?
I'll answer the first question. Yeah, it was, again, another thrill being selected to be the crew chief for that contest. I remember that the opening kickoff was run back by an Ohio State player for a touchdown.
Yeah, Ted Ginn.
90 yard.
Ted Ginn, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
And I remember, too, they all piled on him in celebration, and they hurt his ankle. And they were down there in the end zone. I don't know if he came back in and played. But after that, Florida just kind of rolled all over Ohio State. And you're right, I think it was, I don't know, 42-25 or something like that. I think your other question was what? Between
right.
A tight game?
Is there any different calling a real tight down-to-the-wire game or a blowout?
We try to do the exact same thing every play, regardless of the score. But realistically speaking, we love to do the tight games because the players are concentrating on it. The coaches are concentrating on it. Blowouts are part of the game, no matter what sport, but sometimes a blowout, maybe the team that's getting beat really badly, they may start acting a little bit out of sorts and we have to clamp down on behavior. But, most officials really like tight, close games in which we're never a factor in the outcome.
Final couple thoughts for Jack Foliard. In radio, we call it a reset. You mentioned earlier, and one of the reasons we're discussing this is the OSAA is getting out the word. There is a serious shortage of officials. I mean, what kind of information do we need to get out there? Is there a remedy for this?
Other than just the good help from you folks in the media, I don't know there's an overnight remedy. It's a process that is a that is occurring over the last several years. It's going to take a number of years to increase our numbers. We're not losing officials any faster than the normal attrition as people age and perhaps have the job situation, but we're not filling the bucket as quickly. But the way it works in terms of getting started, in fact, this is a great time for softball and baseball because the high school season is just around the corner. We have local associations like the Lane County Umpires, Softball Umpires Association, Baseball Umpires Association. You join a local association, all the training and information is provided locally by their senior leadership, and you get your assignments through that association. And for your listeners across the state, I'll give you our website address. It's www.oreofficials, and ORE is O-R-E, and then the word officials.org. And there you can tap in, select your sport, select where you live, and it'll pop up contact information for the leadership of that particular local association.
All right. That's some great information. And like I said, folks, if you could help out or are interested, you can follow up. His name is Jack Foliard, Hall of Famer. Hey, Jack, real interesting stuff, and I greatly appreciate you taking some time to chat with us.
Well, and we help. Thanks for your help, too, because this is part of the process. Get the word out that there's a desperate need. And, you know, if this trend continues, what's going to happen, it's already starting to happen, is at the freshman level, many of these games have to be changed because we don't have officials for a particular day. That puts pressure on the athletic director. And in some cases, if it gets worse, we're going to have to start canceling freshman games. And that's not a good outcome.
Nope. And, you know, like I said, let's get the awareness out there. Great speaking with you, and have a great 2017.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care.